Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you specially for this night. Lord, there is no doubt, everyone that have braved the weather, everyone that is here is for signs and miracle. Everyone this night listening to this program, and those that will subsequently listen to it on CD, on radio, Father, make them blessed people in Jesus' name. Whatever be the burdens in their hearts, as they come to you in prayer, Father in heaven, we pray you lift up the burden and give them the joy, freedom, and give them all they desire according to your word. This night, Lord, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Our starting point, please sit down, will always be from the discussion of Jesus Christ and his disciples. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, I encourage you to take your Bible, take your pen, take notes, because not only that you are here as Bible students, we want you at the end of the day that God will make you also a teacher. I didn't get a good amen.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy, the things you have heard me teach and the things you have heard me discuss, the same also you should teach to faithful men and faithful women too of God, that they may be able to teach others. I am where I am today because somebody taught me. There are some Christians, they do not have the patience of sitting down to be taught, especially if they have been in the Christian faith maybe for over 5 years or 10 years, or they have had the privilege of going to a Bible school, or they have had the privilege of traveling overseas, and they have gone to places like Oral Roberts, they've gone to places, some schools, and they come back. Trust me, many of them have itching buttock. Once they are in the church and someone else is to preach or teach, they say, not me. I'm a graduate of theology. I am a graduate from a Bible school. What does the person want to teach? I remember when we were to start the Bible school we had at Ochorio's, what we call the place now, Tower Isles, and we were doing some distribution of flyers before we started the school, and we were told there's a Christian lady, and we went there. We also understand the husband is a Christian, so we went there to meet with them and to teach and to share with them the invitation in our hand. And honestly speaking, we invited this our brother that we met there. And he says something, you are inviting me to come and teach or to come and be a student? He said, because I have this degree, I have that degree, I have this degree. Oh, I said, oh, we are sorry. He said, so I said, okay, but will you help us to distribute the flyer? He said, if you are ready to invite me to teach, then I will come. We never stepped there again. Because we discovered that, you know, the man knows more than what we know already. But let me say this, that in life, never get to a stage where you feel you have graduated. Especially when you are in the church and God is using someone else to bring the word. Don't look at the stature or the gender or the color or the academics. Listen to thus saith the Lord. And here we see the disciples of our Lord Jesus, they came to him in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. In other words, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And so remember that the present disciples of Jesus, some of them were with John. But when they saw Jesus praying, they saw some uniqueness in the style and the pattern of his prayer. And also they have also observed there's a difference between the prayer of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and the way Jesus prayed. And so they came to Jesus, "The way you are praying is not what we have seen other people pray. Please teach us how to do what? Pray." I want everybody to say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." How many of us will say sincerely, "Lord, teach me how to pray"? You know, many times we feel we have known it. And even though I stand here before you this night, God knows my heart that I am still learning from him. Every day I say, "Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to study. Teach me humility. Teach me obedience. Teach me submission." Never get to a stage in life where you feel you have known everything. God sometimes uses people that you never believe they could be instruments. How does it sound to you that God used an animal to rebuke his own prophets? How is it that God used dry stick in the hand of Moses to teach him about signs and miracles? How is it that God used a mud on the ground and put in the eyes of a blind man to show his might on human being? This evening, brothers and sisters, we are looking at the subject, double-minded prayers. What do I say it is? I didn't hear you say it again. In the epistle of James chapter 1, James chapter 1 from verses 5 to 8, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man or woman think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Read verse 8 with me, everybody, please. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Come on, again. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." I want you to be very, very observant, because even while I prepare for this material, I was giving thanks to God as if I've never seen it this way before. About double-minded prayers. And this is the reason why some people pray and pray and pray. Listen to me. In their prayer, they get frustrated. And not only that they get frustrated, they begin to seek for other gods. Because this other God they've been praying and praying and praying to is not answering them, so they need to look for another God. Are we following that? So, but I hope and believe God as you listen very attentively this evening, because this is a classroom. We are in a classroom, we are learning. What we have said that, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Number one, we observe in verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Why is it that it started with wisdom? Number one, we need wisdom to overcome temptation. We need wisdom to increase our finances. We need wisdom to solve our marital problems. We need wisdom to keep our health and healing when we are sick. We need wisdom in human relationship in order to make progress in life. We need wisdom in every sphere of our life. To transact business, to succeed academically, we need wisdom. As a pastor, as a minister, as an evangelist, you need wisdom. If you have money, how to use the money to help other people and to increase your wealth, you need wisdom. In your relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your boss, with your pastor, with your neighbor, how you can live and coexist with people in harmony, we need wisdom. Sometimes the people you live with in the house, they are troublemakers. Your neighbors, they are always looking for how to make trouble. Even little things, they boil up. We need wisdom to deal with them. And that's why the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. In all thy getting, do what? Get wisdom. Look at Proverbs. I'm coming back to that, Jim, but quickly look at Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4, you see the importance of wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Are you there? Verses 4, verses 5 and 7. Proverbs 4, 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Are you planning to get married? You need wisdom from God. Because you don't know what man is and who man is. You want to get married to a woman, and the woman looks so beautiful outside. Everything you are looking for in terms of physique, she had it. But you need wisdom. Because no man knows the heart of any woman. And no man knows the heart of any man. You may see a man outwardly looking so handsome, have all the papers, have nice car, have nice position, have green card to go to America, but he might be a devil in the heart. You need wisdom. You might see a lady outwardly speaking. She might have even been one of those that contested for Miss Jamaica and Miss World. Outwardly, she looks so beautiful, charming, attractive, seductive. But you need to live in the house and know you are living with a Jezebel. And so before you even ever say yes to get married to such person, you need what? Wisdom. You know, many people today, they graduate from university and they have no job. Because some of them never sought for wisdom. What is the kind of study, what kind of career should I give myself to so that at the end of the day, I am not really in a situation that I finish my academics and I am not able to get job. So many person never get counseling, they never get any advice. And that is something serious. I understand the owner of the car, Mark 2, 5868FX, is needed outside. Now, this is something. So the Bible says here that we should, if any man lack wisdom. Now, brethren, you might be asking, how does this affect prayer? Do you know that there are many persons that pray and they don't pray with wisdom? And so they pray and pray and cry and fast and pray again. Some of them go to the mountain. Some of them will go to exclusion. And they go to places, they say, I don't want anybody to know. I want to have 3 days dry fasting, 7 days dry fasting. But find out, they have no wisdom. Some men are praying that God might give them the wife of another man. And they have to pray and fast about it. And some ladies are praying, not knowing the man is already engaged, but because the wife is abroad, and they say, Lord, give him to me. And you see this sister will not eat, will not drink water, will not do anything, praying night and day, Lord, give her to me or give him to me. We need what? Wisdom. Somebody say, Lord, give me wisdom. You might be wasting your energy. You might be starving yourself and you say you are fasting. You might be praying and God will just be in heaven and say, oh, my people are destroyed. For lack of what? Knowledge. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to make good use of what? Knowledge. And that's why James says, because in connection with prayer, is if any man lack wisdom, look at it in that verse, James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Remember Jesus said, ask, and he shall do what? Receive. Seek, and he shall do what? Find. Knock, and he shall do what? It is in the same context. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You need wisdom to fix your marriage? Yes. You know, there's the devil's advertisement now in town, all over. See it all over the world. And that is, why are you waiting for 48 hours to get divorced? We can do it for you in 24 hours. We just came back from New York yesterday. We went for a convention. One of the days when we're going to convention, the brother driving us, he said, Pastor, look at that car. Believe you me. Just like you see people say, just wedded. Eh? A man wrote it maybe with a big chalk. He said, just divorced. I'm telling you. In fact, I have never seen that one. I've seen just wedded before, but that was the first time. And I think the man was just coming from court where he has just, you know, finished the thing. And he wrote it very bold and very big. He said, just divorced. And he was, you know, enjoying the music and was, you know, feeling the vibe in the car. He said, just what? Divorce. And we see that this same madness is coming to church today, where many persons get excited to get married. And some of us pastors, we are so anxious to get them married. But after 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, they can't live together again. We need wisdom. Somebody say, we need wisdom. You know, some people think that when they get married, that it is going to work automatically. It doesn't go so. Because this lady had been living her life for over 20-something years and just left her life to come and join with you, a man. A lot of adaptation, adjustments, reasoning, a lot of thinking is required. Even in food, emotion, everything is required. Look at this man. For 30 years, been living alone or living with his parents. Eventually lived alone. And suddenly there comes somebody into his life. He needs what? Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. When you are tempted or when you are under pressure, you need wisdom. Have you ever come to a stage where you are pressured left, right, center? And sometimes say, Lord, this is the end of my life. Take a day at a time. You need what? Wisdom. Sometimes pressure really comes on you. And if you are not in control, you almost feel like destroying yourself. A family man, a family woman, pressure will come. There's no way you can avoid it. In your place of work, your boss will pressure you. Your colleagues will pressure you. The job you do will bring you under pressure. But at such a time, you need what? Wisdom. That's why it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. So we say, we can also remove that word wisdom. If any man lack money, finance, if any man lack good health, if any man lack anything, put it in that same passage, in that context, if you will. If any man lack joy, peace, if any man lack spiritual wealth, let him ask of God that does what? Give it to all men. He give it to all men and upbraided not. And it shall be what? Given him. So you see, that particular area is in the context of prayer. That we should ask God for wisdom, for health, for wealth, for righteousness, for victory in time of temptation, for joy, for peace of mind, for grace to overcome. But he says something in verse 6. Let him ask in what attitude? In what? He said, let him ask in faith, not in fear, trusting feeling. Let him ask in what? In faith. Why? Because he that cometh to God must definitely believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently do what? Seek him. Many persons go to God with double mind. Will he do it? Is he able to do it? Does he have the power to do it? I have heard that those who had cancer, they never survived. I heard those who had diabetes, they never, get well. I heard those that fail exam, they never pass. Will I have a husband? Will I have a wife? Will I have children? You need to see the medical reports, what the doctor said about my fallopian tube. Can he do it? He said, when you are coming to God, let him ask in faith. Nothing what? Wavering. You know what it means to waver? He's here. He's there. He said, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with what? Wind and tossed. Is that clear to all of us? In other words, if we are coming to God to ask him for wisdom, primarily, health, wealth, to ask him for righteousness, grace to overcome temptation, when you come to him, don't come with a wavering mind. Come definitely convinced that he has the power and ability to do it. Anybody following what I'm saying? And he made it very clear. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. Not even something. Let not that man do what? Think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. In what? If you have a pen there, underline it in your Bible, please. Underline it in your Bible. You know, I've been reading that place for some time, but while I was preparing for this program, something came to my mind. Say, in all his ways, somebody who wavers, somebody who is unstable, somebody who is always in doubt as to the ability of God, whether God will do this or God will do that. Hello, brethren, look up here. If there was anything that made God to be very angry with the children of Israel, is because of their wavering faith. Listen to me. About 1 million of them died in the wilderness because of their wavering faith. God told Moses at a point in time, say, how long am I going to bear with these people? How long? When I parted the Red Sea, they were there. When I gave them water out of the rock, they were there. When I made manna to come all the way from heaven, they were there. when I fed them with quails, meat, they were there. When I gave them fire in the night to lead, and the shadow and cloud in the day to lead, they were there. How long will I bear with their unbelief? He said, many of them that doubted me, they died in the wilderness. And if you will want to be a prayer warrior, listen to me. If God gives you grace to pray, long prayer is good. It's a gift. You know, we need to talk about that later on, because some of you may not know that there are some person that has the ministry of prayer. You have ministry of what? Prayer. They can be on their knees. They may not necessarily be on their knees, but really interceding for a whole day. And there are some person, they cannot pray for more than 30 minutes at a time. 1 hour at a time. Don't condemn them. That's not their ministry. But that doesn't mean also they are not breaking through. They are breaking through. There are some person who have prayer ministry, but they don't have preaching ministry. Some have prayer ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? They don't have counseling ministry. We are differently gifted in the house of God. And that's why Paul spoke extensively about it in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But here we are dealing with the issue of prayer. Here he says very clearly in this James, he says, verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Everybody say, in all his ways. Please look at somebody by your side and tell him, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Look at somebody, tell him. Turn to somebody else and tell him again. I know that looks as if we are joking, but it's not a joke. When somebody is double-minded, hello, brothers and sisters, if somebody is proposing you for marriage and is always having double mind, don't go with that person. Am you a brother? If you propose a woman and say, I am thinking of getting yoked up with this lady as my wife, and the lady say yes, after 2 weeks he came by, say, see, I am not sure again, please wait. Then he goes away. After 1 month, he say, okay, I'm back now, I'm ready. Are you following what I'm saying? Then after 3 months you are in courtship, he say, I am not too sure again, please wait. And then he goes back and say, after 1 month again, say, ahem, something just mentioned my heart, I'm ready again. If you marry that woman, good luck to you. Or maybe you are the Christian lady and you see a man behaving that way. I want to marry you. I say, okay, let me tell my parents or let me tell my pastor. And then after 2 months, you come back and say, but you know what I told you before? I am sorry. I saw a revelation. I dreamt a dream recently and then went away. And after about 3 months, they say, I'm now ready to talk to you now. We are now ready for the marriage. Don't go with that man. That man will ruin your life. He's a double-minded man. The Bible says he is unstable. Not some of his ways. Do employ somebody if you are an employer. Or don't work with an employer who says today you are working, tomorrow you are no more working. Next tomorrow you work, and the next tomorrow ask God to give you a stable job. Because if you work with a company or an organization or anyone who is so unstable in all their way, you will live in debt because your bills will be piling up. You can't plan your life. A double-minded man is what? Is unstable. Not in some, in all his ways. You know what I'm going to do? I won't rush this message. Wherever the time catches me up, I will stop. If the Lord Jesus tarries next week, next program, I will continue, because I really want you all to get the picture so that you see how God wants us to pray effectual prayer. that will be very helpful to us. Do we say amen to that? God wants us to be stable. I'm sure some of you would have heard this kind of language. We hear it now and then on radio and on television. Whenever you hear that somebody was shot or this happened, and then they say that he's in the hospital but he's in a stable condition. How many of you have heard that before? It's very common. Just listen to me. Almost every time I say that, you know, he was shot or he was stabbed or he was chopped, but he is what? Stable. That shows that he's responding to treatment. If he's not stable, then he's erratic. And the next news you likely hear is that he's dead. And God doesn't want somebody who is erratic in the church. He wants somebody who is what? Stable. Come and say, Lord, make me stable. You know, if somebody is not stable in the church, the pastor can't even trust them. Because today they behave so good. Tomorrow you can't believe what they do. Today they talk well, laugh well, smile well, sing well, praise God. And, you know, they are nice. When they come next day, they are so sour. You can't predict them. If you have such a wife at home, it's a terrible thing, you know. I'm telling you. Because when you wake up in the morning, the woman is frowning her face. You'll be wondering whether she drank sour juice in her dream. Or you say, man, you don't see any smile on the face of the man. That woman is in trouble at home. Even when the woman cooked the best food and prepare the table and set it up, and the man still come, you can't see one smile on his face. Very unstable, erratic, sick. Nobody's hearing me. A double-minded man is what? In some of his ways. Be very careful putting your money in the hand of a man or woman that is unstable. I'm telling the truth. Hello, let me go for that. Don't do business with any brother that is unstable. Don't do business with any woman you know is unstable. Because he could say, let us do business today. Tomorrow he will eat the money alone. And then come and tell you another story. Very unstable. Not in some of his ways. All his ways. And that is something very important. Now, we move away from there. Please, somebody try and help put some fans on. Some persons are sweating. Because it's getting hot. Okay, maybe I only saw some few persons here. Now, those who came in wet, they are not feeling cold. Understand it. I understand you. I understand you. So we have different camps there. Now, something is very clear to us here. God wants us to be stable whenever we are praying. Now, what does it mean to be stable? Let me just look at that. James chapter 4, verse 8. The same James 4. Read with me. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Anybody follow what I'm saying there? The thing that makes many people unstable in their prayer life with God, in their relationship with God, is sin. You see, Bible interprets Bible. We have not gone to another writer. But he says there in that chapter 4, verse 8. He said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, Ye what? Double-minded. People are double-minded when they take pleasure in sinful practices. At the same time, they want to enjoy the favors of God. That's where the problem is. They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin. At the same time, they want to enjoy the favors of God. A man saw me somewhere along Walton Park about 2 weeks ago. I was trying to buy something at the grocery. And the man, somebody there told him that he's the pastor of the new church around the corner there. And the man, you know, began to say, you know, I heard that the church is good. You will soon see me there. And I also go to V.T. Williams Church. You see, I go there and I put my tithe there. I want to come to your church and also put my tithe there. And maybe the man thought that whenever he sees pastors, pastors are after the tithes and the offering. So, and I told him, listen to me. That day, one or two persons were with me in the car. I say, God is not looking for your tithe, but God is looking for your hearts. And the man said, yes, I like that kind of thing. I say, God is looking for your hearts and not for your money. Give God your hearts. Do away with your sin. And then your money will then be acceptable. Let's praise him for that. If we are to be free from double-mindedness, the first thing we are to do here is to draw near to God, and God says, I will also draw near to you. And what you do next is cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye what? Double-minded. Brethren, let nobody deceive us that sinners have rights with God. Sinners have no right with God. Listen, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with what? The wicked what? Every day. The only time the wicked man, the wicked woman will begin to find favor with God is when he or she repents of her sin, of his sins. That is the beginning of finding favor with God. And that we say, ye sinners. He says, sinners, turn away. Remember, two things are addressed there. In that verse 8, it says, cleanse your hands. How is that closely connected with what David said in the book of Psalms? A clean hand? I didn't hear you. A clean hand? One more time. A clean hand? That's what James is saying here. If you want to receive any favor from God, let nobody deceive you. You can't play God. You can't trick God. You cannot outsmart God. He said, let the sinners. You may come with bundle and bags of money to the house of God. You can bribe politicians and bribe policemen. You can't bribe God. Did I hear somebody say amen to that? You know, there are some persons today, they prefer to come with a box of money than to repent from their sinful practices. And God says, if you want to get my favor, if you want to enjoy my protection, if you want to enjoy my presence and my power in your life, he said, this is the first thing to do. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hand. Get your hand out of sinful practices. Don't let anybody deceive you. You know, the other day I heard something from one of our students. Hopefully it's corrected. The student says that We are Christians, but there are sinning Christians. Did you hear that? There are what? Sinning Christians. They sin, but they are still Christians. True or false? Yeah, man, there are many persons who believe that we can never be free from sin. That every night we have to confess our sin. Every day, every Sunday, we have to go back to the altar. Why then did Jesus die? Why then was the blood shed at Calvary? What was the purpose of the sacrifice at Calvary? If sin cannot be removed, brethren, a double-minded man is what? You know what makes the mind to be double-minded? The person wants to continue to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He wants to continue giving his heart to the devil, at the same time be in the house of God. Let me quickly show you, as I said, I'll close you soon. I'm conscious that you need to go. God helping me, I want to continue with this, if the Lord so lead, next time, because I want you to get something very clear. Run with me as we go quickly to 1, 2, 3 references to show you in the Bible instances where people call upon the name of God with their mouths, but they serve the devil in their house. Did you hear what I said? They call upon the name of God with what? Their mouths. But privately and secretly they do what? Worship God, idols. Don't tell me nobody here is doing so. Because there are some of you here, you go to church on Sunday. And on Monday you are on the hill in Bamyard. Look at it. 2 Kings, quickly. 2 Kings chapter 17. Run with me. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33. Read with me if you are there. I want to keep you awake. They feared the Lord. Watch it now. And served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Can you imagine these people? Outwardly, they fear God. But secretly, they still have what? They serve their own idols. In the church, they openly proclaim God. Say, yes, we love Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then some of them even speak in tongues. But the Bible says, these people are terrible people. That was the practice of the Pharisees. Outwardly, they show righteousness. Inwardly, they are so corrupt. And it says in this place, they fear the Lord. And they serve their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Look at verse 35. With whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretch out arms, him shall you fear, and him shall you do what? Worship. And to him shall you do what? Sacrifice. Can you imagine these people? Outwardly, they fear the Lord, but they have their own private idol that they worship. They have their own private idol they put their trust in. They have their own private idol. And God had earlier warned them, I am not going to accommodate another God in my own service. Brethren, if there be anything we know about the God of heaven, Jehovah, he's a jealous God. He's what? He's what? The God we serve is not going to accommodate any other kind of God. He's a jealous God. Now listen to me. Get this very clear. Some people say that makes us to be narrow-minded in our theological discourse. You believe that only your God, Jesus Christ, is the only way. Yes. He's the only way, the truth, and what? And life. No other way. For no other name is given unto man in this world to be saved except through the name of Jesus. But the point we are trying to bring out is the double-minded people who come to God in the daytime publicly, hello, but privately they have their own gods. They have some idols. And when you see some people with many rings in their hand, some of them, those rings are not just for fun. It's not just for show. This ring is for wealth. This one is for love. This one is for good luck. This one is for protection. This one is for, it's for whatever. Did you hear what I'm saying? Some people, if you ask them to remove their shirt or their blouse, they tie some here and tie some here and put some things on the beach down here and tie another. All of them, they represent something. They believe with this one, you know, you get favor. With that one, women will love you. With that one, men will give you more money. With that one, you get anything. All kinds of rings they attach. I don't know where we Christians are going. And that's why I see some people, they pray and pray and pray. We are not getting answer. But I tell you truly, God has answer. And I can show you very much before we finish this one, that God has promised to answer those who are not double-minded, but they are single-minded. Let me just show you Zephaniah. Zephaniah is not very popular, but it has tremendous message. Zephaniah, not Zechariah. Open your Bible to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is after Habakkuk, before you get to Haggai. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 4. Watch it now. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnants of Baal from this place and the name of the Shemarims with the priests. Now watch it in verse 5 and see what these people are doing. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. You see these people? They will swear in the name of the Lord. They will also swear in the name of idol. Beware of walking with those people that serve two gods. They serve two gods. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Let me surprise some of you. If you are a Christian and you are always reading horoscope, you are serving two gods. Believe you me. You are serving two gods. If you are a Christian and you believe in palm reading, you are serving two gods. You are double-minded. If you say you are a Christian and you believe in using of cards to chart your future, you draw the cards to tell you what will happen to you tomorrow, next tomorrow, or in your exam, you are serving another God. Double-minded. Anybody there with me? So we can see what and why the Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, from verse 13, ye cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God at the same time serve what? Mammon. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, from verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and serve what? Mammon. Let me close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. It says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I'm not sure whether you are hearing that. You cannot drink. You know, there are some people that come to the Lord's Supper and they take the bread, they take the wine, and at the same time, they go to herbal homes and they go to magician and they join secret society, but they are still in the church. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Many of them will say, you know, we are not doing anything wrong. We don't curse the church. We don't kill Christ. We are just looking for how to make our life more enriched. But be very careful. The Bible says here, many of those secret societies, they eat bread and they also take wine. Did you hear what I say? I don't want to mention their names, but many of them have what they call their own communion. Just like the Rastafarian says that ganja is their own what? Communion. Oh, you don't know that? That is the basis of the Rastafarian saying that their own sacrament is what? The ganja. That's one of their major arguments. Even before Professor Chavan died, that was his major key argument. That just like the Roman Catholic in those days, that alcohol was not acceptable because it was an intoxicant, and that the government eventually accepted the Roman Catholic to be using alcohol for their Lord's Supper, so they should also approve ganja for the Rastafarian for their own sacrament. And we know in the house, in evangelical church, Church of God, Pentecostal church, we take the Lord's Supper, we take bread and wine to represent the body and blood of Jesus. And the Bible says there are so many persons that take the wine and the bread in the church, but they still go to secret societies to take bread and wine there. And the Bible says, listen to me, you cannot do that. Double-mindedness, unstable. Your prayer cannot be answered. Anybody hear what I'm saying? You're not talking to me. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Look at how he put it. Let me, in verse 21, it says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of what? Devils. Don't try it. You'll be putting your life in danger. That was what Paul says. Say, some people are sickly. Hello. Look up here, people of God. There are some churches, almost every month, they do funeral service. And they don't know why people are dying. Many people are in the church so sickly. The Bible says they sleep. Brethren, the Lord's Supper, number one, is to remind the believers of the second coming of Christ. And number two, to strengthen the faith of the saints. But when it is taken unworthily, it will cause sickness and disease. Listen, and death. Many people in the church, they take the Lord's Supper unworthily. If I don't take now, my wife will say, what's wrong with you? If I don't take now, my husband will say, what's wrong with you? Everybody is taking, therefore I must take. But you know you are eating with the devil secretly. You have a girlfriend. You sleep with prostitutes. You have relationship with other people's wife and other people's husband. You know your hands are not clean. You know it. Huh? You know that you do terrible things. You steal money from your employer. You tell lies.
You know you commit abortion and you practice masturbation. You know it. You know it. All the pornographic things you watch that corrupt the mind, you know what you are doing. And then you come like an angel on Sunday, cut the bread, take the wine, and walk gently to your seat, and you drink your death. You drink to your death. It's here. It's that you cannot drink. You cannot eat with the Lord, because the Lord is jealous. He will kill you. Not the devil will kill you. He will kill you because you are double-minded. You are eating with him and also eating with the devil. I'm going to stop here. But let us stop where we started from. The Lord's helping us next time. I'm going to pick up from here because there's some real thing I'm going to show you in the Bible to show that a double-minded man does not receive anything from God. If you are double-minded in your relationship with God and you are praying, you are wasting your saliva. If you are double-minded in your relationship with God, listen to me, you may be fasting. You may be getting involved in all kinds of whatever you call it. You are just wasting your life and wasting your time. Because God sees you to be very, very what? Unstable. Let us close from James chapter 1, where I started. In James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, are you there with me? I want you to see, because I'm believing God this night, the Holy Spirit is going to open somebody's eyes to see what you have never seen before, even though you have been reading that Bible. I can tell you that while I was preparing for this program, I was saying, but I've been reading this place all the while. This Holy Spirit is a wonderful Holy Spirit, you know. He gives you illumination, logos, in a special way. Just brightens your mind and you wonder, but I've been reading this thing. Why didn't I see this way all the while? And it says, in that, if any of you lack wisdom, we need wisdom in every area of our life. How many of you know many people have mashed up their life and mashed up their future, mashed up opportunities for them because they lack wisdom? Wisdom. You need wisdom in every area. Every area. Business, academics, marriage, ministry, preaching, teaching, praying. You need wisdom to succeed, increase your wealth, to keep your health. You need wisdom. You know, some of us just eat anything and drink anything and believe God will keep us healthy. When you take too much sugar and salt, you are digging your grave already. You need wisdom to know what you eat and what you don't eat, what you drink and what you don't drink. You need wisdom to know where you go and where you don't go to live your life. Did I hear somebody saying amen to that? Amen. We need wisdom, brethren. We need wisdom to choose even our careers, to choose a life partner. We need wisdom to choose where to live, to choose where to walk. We need wisdom. And he went further to say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that giveth to all men liberally, take note of that, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Everybody stand up, please. How many will ask God for wisdom this night? How many will ask God for wisdom to pray, wisdom to conduct business, wisdom to increase your wealth, the wisdom to keep your health? Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom to manage your marriage. Wisdom to improve your relationship. Wisdom to employ people to work with you. Wisdom in transacting business. How many will ask for wisdom this night? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Come on, go ahead now. Lord, give me wisdom. Go ahead. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need wisdom. Wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, wisdom in relating with others, wisdom in relating with your boss, wisdom in relating with your servants, wisdom in relating with those around you, wisdom, wisdom. He will give it to you. He will give it to you if you will ask him. Not with double-mindedness, not with wavering mind. Not with wavering mind, you don't have to waver. If you waver, you will not get it. Anybody needing wisdom this night? Wisdom to increase your wealth? Wisdom to choose a career? Wisdom to choose a life partner? Wisdom to do business? Wisdom to keep your health? Wisdom to get a new job? Wisdom in talking to people? Wisdom in talking with your wife, with your husband? Wisdom in solving problems? Wisdom. Who needs wisdom this night? Let him call upon God and say, Lord, I need wisdom in my business. I need wisdom in relationship. I need wisdom to increase my wealth. I need wisdom in my businesses. I need wisdom in my career. I need wisdom to direct my future. Somebody call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I need your wisdom this night. Oh, it's a gift. It will be given to you. Wisdom to relate with your bad boss. Wisdom to relate with a bad customer. Wisdom to relate with a bad client, someone that is not, you cannot talk to. But when God gives you wisdom, you will know how to relate even with the worst man, with the worst woman. Wisdom. Hey, call for it. He that asketh for wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God will give it to you this night. Ask him for wisdom. Wisdom to pray with a clean hand and a pure heart. He said, ye sinners, cleanse your hand and purify your heart so that God will receive your prayer. Oh, your prayer will be powerful if you will cleanse your hands from sin. If you will cleanse your hands from worldly practices. If you will cleanse your hands from that which defiles. And I say, Lord, purge my heart with the blood of the Lamb. Purify my heart with the blood of the Lamb. Today, wisdom will be yours. Wisdom will be yours. I say, wisdom will be yours. Take it. Take it from the Lord. Don't close your mouth. Just open your mouth and say, Lord, I need wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing this chorus before I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Let's start all over from your heart. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, come on. secret. Make it ever true. Shake my heart, oh God.
You are the potter. Sing it from your heart. Everybody, please. Come on, you are the potter. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, do it right now for somebody. Do it now, God, please. Receive it in the name of the Lord. That change of hearts. Come on. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it.
May I be like you.
Let me hear somebody praise God. I want to pray a closing prayer. Please, if you don't mind, don't feel anyhow. Just place your hand, your right hand on your chest. On your chest. And say, Lord, change my heart. I don't want to be double-minded. I want to be single-minded. Anything in my life that will distract my attention from the living God, today I give you the permission to destroy it from my life in the name of Jesus. Anything in my family, anything in my career, anything in my business that will distract my attention and make me to be double-minded, oh God, I pray you, remove it this night by the power of the Holy Ghost and make me to be single-minded. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, I don't want to serve you outwardly and serve another God secretly. I don't want to eat with the devil and also come to the dining table of the Lord. I want to be single-minded so that my prayer can be answered. I know you have answered me this night because I am very sincere. You will not despise the prayer of a humble heart. Oh God, I am here for a miracle. Do a miracle in my heart to be a single-minded Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to pray for you right now, and I'm very sure someone is there to receive the miracle of a new heart. If you are there, you know your life. If you are practicing sin, don't let anybody deceive you. You may give evangelists so and so money. You can send the money to them in America, in England, in Australia, in Canada. You are wasting your money. But if you today cleanse your hands from sin and purify your heart with the blood of the Lamb, your prayer will be effectual and powerful. I want to pray for you. Father, we thank you for giving your people the grace, in spite of the rain, they were able to come through. Father, receive the glory. This night, we have heard in parts that a double-minded man is unstable and will never receive anything from God. Oh God in heaven, if there be anybody here who is double-minded, serving other gods, even though pretending outwardly that they are serving the God of heaven, Father, today, destroy the idols in their hearts in Jesus' name. Destroy the idols in their hearts in Jesus' name. If there be anybody here today practicing sin and pretending to be a Christian, oh God in heaven, we are pleading and praying for your mercy upon that individual, running from one church to the other, going from one prayer meeting to the other, fasting day and night, and yet they refuse to divorce themselves from sin. Today, this night, oh God, we pray that you will separate them by your power from their sinful practices in Jesus' name. Make sin to be distasteful to them. Make sin to be ugly in their eyes. Open their eyes to see the consequence of sin. Sin separates us from you. Your word says in Isaiah chapter 59, my hands are not short, my ears are not deaf, my eyes is not blind, but your sin have separated you from God. Oh God, this day, if there be sin in any man's heart this night, in any woman's heart this night, and he's saying, Lord, I am sorry, I am sorry, I am sorry, oh God, we all pray, let there be forgiveness and let there be reception in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, I can see those two persons saying, Lord, I am coming home. Lord, I am coming home. Today I am breaking away from the cords of sin. I am coming home. Father, receive them in Jesus' name. And Lord, not only that we should cleanse our hands from sin, but we should purify our hearts. So many Christians do not have a purified heart, a sanctified heart, a holy heart. Yes, they have repented of their sin, but they need to have a purified heart. Oh God, this night, as many as asking for a pure heart, a sanctified heart, give it to them through the blood in Jesus' name. I said, receive sanctification of your soul, of your spirit, in Jesus' name. Let the power of victory come into your soul today, in Jesus' name. Let the nature of holiness come into your life, come into your system, come into your spirit, in Jesus' name. Oh God, we want to be like you. You made us in your image, after your own likeness. It is not your will that we be corrupted and we be defiled. Today, this night, everyone present here, born again, Father, let the spirit of sanctification come upon our soul in Jesus' name. Oh, mighty God. Are there some souls this night that they have evil imaginations in their hearts? Are there some souls here this night thinking of suicide, thinking of crime, thinking evil thoughts? grudge against their neighbor, having unforgiving spirits. Oh God, deliver such Christians this night in Jesus' name. Oh Lord. Brethren, please close your eyes and hear me. If you leave this place today with a pure heart, you have power in your hand. Believe you me. I am telling you by the word of the Lord. If you have a pure heart, the favor of God will be with you in and out anywhere you go. No man will harm you. No one can hurt you. Because you become the jewel of the Lord. Lift up your two hands and worship him, please. I am telling you, power is with you if you have a pure heart. There's power. I don't know why I have to say this. There's someone here, you've been living in fear. If you will purify your heart and say, Lord, wash my heart with the blood, that fear will disappear. That fear will go away. You will no more have fear to sleep at night. You will sleep like a baby and wake up joyful with smiling face. Oh, come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I give my heart for purification. I give my heart for sanctification. Oh, cleanse my heart with the blood. Purge my heart of every impurity, of negative thoughts. Oosh. 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 I don't know why I have to say this. Listen to me. Not less than 5% will be having the Holy Spirit baptism with this evidence of speaking in tongues, because God has seen your hearts and the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon you in a very special way. Lift up your hand and give me a good amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We come to you in Jesus' name. These purified hearts right now, may the Holy Ghost of God, with evidence of speaking in tongue like a dove, come upon your life right now in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Like a fire in your bone, receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. With signs and wonder, come upon your life right now in Jesus' name. Lift up your hand and praise the name of the living God. Receive him. Receive him. Receive him. Receive him. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive him with power. With power and evidence. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive him. Receive him. He's upon you right now. I say the Holy Ghost is upon you right now. He's upon you. Receive him. He touched me.